All hail the power of Jesus, name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our Ready to Water audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In Micah, the 6th chapter, let's begin our reading with verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, people have always needed to know what God wants from them. And it's true that God has revealed what he wants and what he expects. But people have attempted life on their own terms, and what God wants of them somehow gets lost in the maze of human wisdom. So the purpose of our study today is very simple. Think about this matter of what God wants from us. First of all, he wants our attention. You know, people forget God. This was one of the things that God had to deal with when he dealt with the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy 8, it says in verse 11, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then you say in your heart," when you drop down to verse 17, "then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands have gained me this wealth." In Psalms, the 50th chapter, verse 22. "Now consider this, you who forget God. Fear lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver." You know, we remember his name, we remember his existence, but in practice, we forget him. Like it's stated in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 11, let's read that again. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you to this day." How do we forget God? When we don't keep his commandments. We need to listen to God. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, this verse comes out of a great human need, such need as can cause one to forget God. Also in Matthew 17 and verse 5, "While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So, what does God want from us? He wants our attention. Also, he wants our love. That fact has always amazed me. Why would an all-powerful God want a puny human's love? And I'm not alone in this amazement. David said in Psalms 8, beginning with verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" But yet, God wants our undivided, our unreserved love. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And Jesus quoted this in Matthew 22, verse 37, when he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Also, God wants our obedience. You know, certainly, the obedience grows naturally from our love. An important point that we need to understand. In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, Samuel said to Saul, who had just disobeyed God, he says, "Has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." You see, love is the underpinning for our obedience. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 33, it says, "To love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all of the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Did God command sacrifices and offering under the Old Testament? Yes, absolutely. But he wanted obedience from the heart. He wanted the doing of the things that he commands to be done willingly. And God wants our understanding in the obedience that we render unto him. So obedience without conviction and without commitment, all that amounts to is just cold ceremony. In Romans 6, we read in verse 17, it says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." See, obedience is not just the obedience itself, but it's obedience that comes from the heart, motivated by love. In 1 John 5, it's in verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." That's the reading from the King James. The New King James says, "And his commandments are not burdensome." But two, God wants our life. God should control our lives. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In Colossians, the third chapter, let's begin our reading with verse 1. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we shall also appear with him in glory." See, God doesn't want this on-again, off-again type of relationship that far too many people have with him. God does not want a sort of a warm, in other words, a minimal relationship. He wants all of us, our whole being. So the practical expression of this, well, it's in Romans 6 and verse 22. "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life." It's in Ephesians 4 that we read, beginning with verse 22, "that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We too also read in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So truly, God wants our life. But then also, God wants your company. You know, he's surrounded by angels, but yet he wants you, he wants me to be there with him. And again, I can't help but find a certain amazement in this. But it's exactly what the scriptures teaches. Look at what God has for us. Let's look at John, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Another verse along this line is Psalms 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, notice, though, that this homecoming that's being spoken of is for people who have responded to what God wants them to do. And that's what our whole study has been on. It's been on the subject of what God wants from us. In Revelation chapter 14, it's in verse 12 that we read, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So friends, the purpose of our study today is, and I hope has been, simple to understand. What we must do is to be sure that we understand what it is that God wants from us. He wants our attention because it's so easy for us to forget God. It's somewhat times that we find it difficult to listen to God. But this we must do through the studying of his word. He wants our love. And that fact, is, as we said, is amazing because truly, he is one who is so great and so powerful, and yet he's mindful of you and me. He wants our undivided and unreserved love. He wants our obedience because our obedience is what must grow naturally from our love. And it's an important point to our understanding that love is the underpinning for obedience that we do unto God. And he wants our life. He should control our lives. And he wants our company. He wants us to be with him. When this life is over, when the resurrection has occurred and the judgment has taken place, we want to so have lived our lives doing the things that God wants us to do, that we may hear him say on that great and notable day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So what we must do is be sure that we understand and we act on these things that God wants from us. We see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.